This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Faced with a midnight deadline for extending America's authority to borrow money, congressional leaders reached a long-awaited deal to raise the debt ceiling and reopen the federal government. The weeks-long showdown was watched closely at home and overseas, where financial trouble also could have resulted from a U.S. economic crisis. Lake Effect contributor Art Sear is a professor and director of the Clausen Center for World Business at Carthage College in Kenosha, and he's with us to talk about the crisis averted. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mitch. A pleasure.
Well, let me start with what might be an obvious question, but I'm curious to get your take on it. Is a deal to raise the debt ceiling and reopen the U.S. government leading to sighs of relief overseas?
I think it is, certainly in Washington and in the media and among those most directly involved among what's called the Washington establishment. That's the case, and it should be. The markets have been remarably calm and stable. And why
is that? I would think with all this uncertainty, the markets might go into panic mode.
That's certainly true. And Fitch, one of the credit rating agencies, has been threatening to lower the credit rating of the United States government. Not unlike Standard & Poor's not too long ago. But I think as Herbert Hoover might say, the economy is fundamentally strong and sound in global terms, and unlike the situation when poor President Hoover was in office, that really is true today. Huge amounts of financial capital can be moved electronically. Markets can crash very quickly. The fact that that hasn't yet happened should be reassuring.
Maybe it's another obvious question, but would there be an impact on the world economy had the American borrowing authority expired, or is that something that given the overall stability could have been withstood for some time?
Well, that's a very good question. It hasn't happened, and I'm a professor, not a Wall Street or other financial operator, so in some ways I'm the last guy to ask. But yes, if we had a total freeze of the American political system, that could well trigger some kind of worldwide financial meltdown. We've never operated that way. We often operate on the basis of what might be called the perils of Pauline, referring to an earlier Herbert Hoover era. I mean, almost a melodramatic confrontation on a cliff of disaster. The congressmen and politicians, are kind of like college students. They're extraordinarily good at working out a deal at 5 minutes to midnight or after pulling an all-night session to get the term paper done. And that actually, I think, is a pretty apt analogy. I'm not being glib.
And in terms of analogies as well, I mean, I think of the Wisconsin economy and what many people said has slowed things in this state in terms of the recovery. There was a lot of talk about uncertainty, whether mm-hmm. it was uncertainty about the presidential election, uncertainty about the recall election. Does uncertainty exact a price given that this solution is slated to expire in February?
I think it will exact a price in terms of public unhappiness with the Congress. Again, markets have remained quite stable. It's very interesting to bring up the state of Wisconsin, which does not, unlike Washington, unlike the state of Illinois, for example, Wisconsin has a well-balanced budget. Retirement pensions are well-funded. So beyond the political rhetoric, whether it's Governor Walker or former Governor Doyle, we've recovered from a severe recession particularly strongly because we don't have a hangover of debt, and the Republicans currently can take credit for things being in pretty good shape in Wisconsin. I do think the uncertainty in Washington makes every state and local authority, because they all have to borrow, makes things difficult for them. And there has been some upward blips in interest that has to be paid.
Well, and so what do you think the takeaway message for the average Wisconsinite ought to be from perhaps the tenor and the duration of this fight over the debt ceiling and the Affordable Care Act?
Well, historically, Wisconsin is rightly famous not only for progressive, meaning honest and forward-looking politics, but for pragmatic politicians until fairly recent years. And the relatively low standing of President Obama and Congress as an institution and other prominent national politicians makes me think that leaders should do whatever they can to get back to the old-fashioned but very workable, pragmatic kind of politics.
At the same time, there are signs that bipartisanship and compromise are not entirely dead. If they are in the U.S., they perhaps are not overseas, a prime example being in Germany.
Yeah. While the Americans seem increasingly rigid and some would say crazed and irresponsible in our approach to politics at the national level, Angela Merkel and her Christian Democratic Union, Christian and Allied Christian Social Union, the conservative umbrella party in the Federal Republic of Germany, they are working to build a coalition, probably with the other really big party, the Social Democratic Party. They've done that in the past. She had a coalition with a small Free Democratic Party, a free market traditional liberal party that was wiped out in the recent election. But the Germans, as usual in our time, in contrast to earlier times, of course, but the Germans are working things out in a pragmatic and realistic manner. And I must say, I'm a great admirer of the Chancellor. She's been able to juggle these domestic political challenges. At the same time, she's been holding back strong forces in German opinion that they should not be underwriting Europe's debt, they should not be providing financial bailouts. And at the same time, she's been imposing rather stringent and tough-minded austerity measures on the European Union as a whole, especially the states like Greece famously, but also Italy, Spain, and a couple of others that have pretty high debt loads. It's quite a remarkable performance to date, and her leadership is something from which we can learn a lot of lessons, including the guys in Washington.
Well, and Russia fits into this puzzle as well, is that right?
Yes, indeed. Interestingly enough, both the German Chancellor and President Putin of Russia spent their early years in East Germany. She was an academic and a relatively innocent one, but she lived in a very harsh system. Putin, of course, was working for the KGB, and East Germany was rightly notorious, famous for having a particularly tough and rough intelligence system. The Soviets hired a lot of Nazis after the war, did not persecute them, but rather did not punish them and prosecute them, but rather integrated them into their own intelligence system. So both these effective leaders, very different leaders, but both of these effective leaders emerged from a very, very tough earlier environment in contrast to an increasing number of our national leaders who are post-Cold War.
And finally, a story that has perhaps flown under the radar of some this past week in the midst of the debt ceiling showdown. The U.S. military bestowed a significant honor on a hero from the war in Afghanistan.
Yeah. William D. Swenson belatedly got the Medal of Honor. President Obama quite appropriately had a major ceremony yesterday. Seems to have been largely ignored by the media. I'm very happy and proud to report that public radio and public television covered this appropriately. As with other Medal of Honor winners from the beginning, he engaged in extraordinary, almost unbelievable heroism in rescuing wounded comrades and bringing back the bodies of dead comrades in the midst of a terrible firefight with the Taliban in Afghanistan. Officers safely in the rear had turned down a request for air cover because they were concerned that a nearby village and thereby innocent civilians might be injured and killed. When I was in the Army many years ago, there was a stock statement that there's a basic distinction between the name takers and the widow makers. And I am very sorry that that distinction remains true. The officers involved in this very bad decision, given that we are in the midst of a war there, received letters of reprimand, which is tantamount to the kiss of death in terms of a long-term military career. But nonetheless, emphasizing the positive, I'm very glad that this heroic man has received just recognition.
Well, Art Zier, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be with you and your colleagues.
Lake Effect contributor Art Zier is a professor of political economy and world business and director of the Clausen Center for World Business at Carthage College in Kenosha. A break now, and in just a moment, the head of the U.S. Fund for UNICEF on the organization's progress in reducing childhood deaths in the developing world. This is Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio.